Hey there, it's your friend Stormy Warren here, and I want to invite you to my new home, The Big 615, exclusively on TuneIn. So what is The Big 615? Well, simply put, it's the official home of country music broadcasting live from Nashville to the world. Download the TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. And by the way, yes, it's free. You can also ask your device to play The Big 615 on TuneIn. Get the latest on country music, from your favorite artists to the hottest songs climbing up the charts. Oh, and it's commercial free. That means a whole lot more music and a whole lot more country. Hear it all on the Stormy Warren Show, weekdays from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Download the TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. And by the way, yes, it's free. You can also ask your device to play The Big 615 on TuneIn. And I look forward to having you join me on The Big 615.
This is your country station,
The Big 615.
Whether you're doing a dance to your favorite artist in the office parking lot, or being guided into Warrior One in the break room before your shift, whether you're running on your Peloton tread at your mom's house while she watches the baby, or counting your breaths on the subway,
inhaling and long exhaling,
Peloton is for all of us, wherever we are, whenever we need it. Download the free Peloton app today. Peloton app available through free tier or paid subscription starting at $12.99 per month.
Hola! It's the Hump Show! It is. I had to yell it. I don't know why. It just felt like the appropriate time to yell it out. But boy, do we have some good stuff. Some good stuff for you tonight. I don't know if it's any type of a sign. Do you believe in signs and wonders? A couple days after we talked to our friend Michael Duarte in LA, and he waxed poetic and explored the possibilities of a marriage between Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers. We have this synergy between Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers and their current ace, because they only have one pitcher left from their opening day starting rotation. I can imagine there are people out there a little bit concerned after seeing what they did from Clayton Kershaw a couple hours ago, but you will hear from him directly. He'll explain why he took himself out of the game between the Rockies and the Dodgers. But yeah, not what many Dodgers fans wanted to see, probably making them a little bit nervous. Shohei continues to dazzle. I know, Showtime and all. It doesn't seem like Showtime does him justice. So we've got West Coast baseball, because, you know, we have a West Coast bias here on After Hours. The general manager of the Mets answers questions in advance of the owner of the Mets answering questions. This is what it's come down to. Now you've got the owner of the Mets addressing how bad the team is playing and the concerns about the team and which direction they could go or should go or will go, or who even knows if they're going anywhere.
To everybody, let's go, Mets.
I love that Francisco Lindor said after their win versus Milwaukee earlier tonight that it's not like they've clinched the playoffs or anything. Oh, okay, because, yeah, I was actually concerned. I was checking the standings to see if the Mets had, in fact, clinched a playoff spot. I'm fairly confident he was being sarcastic, because, you know, sarcasm is my love language. So I'm pretty sure that's what he was doing. But I don't know, Jay, were you relieved that Francisco Lindor cleared it up for you, that they hadn't, in fact, clinched the playoffs with tonight's win?
Yeah, I thought we were close. The magic number was dwindling. But, yeah, thanks for letting me know. Yeah.
It was dwindling, you say. You mean the chances of having a magic number at all?
Oh, yeah, that's
were dwindling.
What I meant. Oh, gosh.
Meanwhile, at the top of the NL East, boy, the Atlanta Braves flexing their muscles. I don't remember at what point last year that the Braves had their surge. And the year before, too, it felt like they waited a little bit, right? They weren't hot out of the gate each of the last two seasons. But right now, leaving no room for doubt that they are the class of the National League East, and they have the best record in the NL altogether, having won four in a row and nine of their last 10. We haven't talked about them specifically or some of their wins in a couple of days, but tonight's win, well, features one of their young two-way stars. And I love his story arc, too, considering what he's been through. Just as a side note, did you know the leader of the AL Central is below 500? Every single team in the AL Central is below 500. What are you, the NFC South? Stop it. It's just wrong. And yet, that's how it goes sometimes. I mean, the NL Central is not much better. Where only two of the teams are above 500. It's late June. No one needs to be freaking out. Somebody's got to win the division. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us for The Hump Show. Here on CBS Sports Radio, it's the middle show of the work week, and it means you get to ask Amy anything. Always fun for producer Jay. I mostly enjoy the experience. I feel like I'm put on the spot sometimes, but that's the whole point, is can I answer questions thinking on my feet, if you will, although I'm not actually on my feet. I've done broadcasts where I have been on my feet the entire time. In fact, I used to like to call basketball games that way when I was doing play-by-play. Depending upon where we were calling the game from, on the court, you can't stand up. Or I should say on the sidelines, right? They're off the court. You can't stand up. But when I used to do games from, say, a higher perch, then I would like to stand up. When I did the game at Cameron Indoor Stadium, a women's basketball game, actually an NCAA tournament game, we were up in the rafters. And so it was easy to stand up. In fact, you had to stand up to be able to see over the it wasn't really a railing, but you're in this perch almost like a treehouse, if that makes sense. And so to see over the front of your treehouse, you had to stand up to see down onto the court. So I do enjoy standing up while I do broadcasts or standing up while I'm talking. But for the purposes of this show and also for my Syracuse class, I started out standing up and it felt weird for me to stand up while everybody else was sitting down. So I ended up pulling up a chair at the end of a long table where they were all sitting. The students and I, we all sat around a big long table. It just felt like the right thing to do, I guess. It felt more comfortable and more conversational.
It's your classroom. If you're comfortable, that's all that matters, right?
I wanted it to be a collaborative effort where we're all sharing and engaging. And so for that reason, I sat down so I could be at eye level with them and they would feel like we were all in the same boat.
Yeah, it definitely is more of like
it's
a feeling though, you know, the
to create a feeling of
illusion,
collaboration,
if you will.
A mirage, if you will. Jay's face when I said that.
Well, you know.
I get you every time, don't I? You think I'm being serious?
As long as the illusion, as long as I felt like they were equals.
Yes, as long as it felt like we had a connection. Even if it is fake. No, it wasn't fake. It just, we're not on the same page when it comes to our radio experience. That's all I was saying. But I wanted them to feel like they could open up to me as a Professor Lawrence. It's come to this now. My college roommate is calling me Professor Lawrence.
Whoa, no.
Stop it. Seriously, stop it. She thinks she's so funny, too. She's the one, everybody has a friend like this, if you work in this business, who we can't go anywhere without her somehow telling people around us that I'm her famous friend. Shut up. Zip it. I'm not your famous friend. But ever since we were sitting in a restaurant in Boston a few years ago, someone recognized my voice at a restaurant in Boston, and now she can't help it. Everywhere we go together, this is my famous friend, Amy Lawrence. I'm like, oh my gosh, can you not get up?
If no one recognizes you in their way, I mean, that's pretty cool from her side. You got to see that.
All right.
All right.
All right. Okay, fine. Yeah, so when she called me up earlier, she addressed me as Professor Lawrence. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be. Let's not do that.
She thinks she's super funny. All right, you can find Professor Lawrence on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. But what we're asking you to do is to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So whether we're talking show Twitter, my Twitter, la, 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 you know where to find it. And then look for the bright orange box on Facebook as well. You all are still every single day so active on our social media, and you're not bored with us yet, which makes me happy. I will say this, though. I'm concerned that there are far more porn bots on Twitter than there are actual people. Is it just me, or have you noticed the number of porn accounts increase on Twitter since the transition?
And I thought that was like one of the things he specifically, Elon said he was going to get rid of, is the
right.
bots and the porn bots.
No,
and
they're yet popping up everywhere.
Yeah, they really are.
In fact, I don't open them up. The only reason that I, because you can tell pretty quickly by the even the little teeny avatar, you can tell that they're fake and they're porn bots. But the reason I won't say I open them up. I go to their page so I can block them, because I'm on a one-woman mission to block every single porn bot on Twitter. I swear to you, I've blocked thousands of them, Jay. I'm not kidding.
It's a noble cause.
I am. Thank you. Some of them, though, you go to the page and their posts are, they're just like, it's actual porn.
It's like, scares me. Not,
it does.
You know, to go to those pages, because then I feel like they're going to have, I don't know, I hate to even click on them.
Well, that's how you have to block them, though, right? That not every time can you get the drop down menu. Mm-hmm. If you just hover your mouse over their actual avatar or whatever, you don't always get a drop down menu to block them. It depends on, you know, if you're on a server on your phone. And I'm telling you, sometimes all it takes is getting on their profile page and there's actual porn videos that are playing right there.
How does that get uploaded?
Oh, I don't
know. Like, how does
that
get past the
vulgar, like really vulgar. And so I am, almost every account now I'm gun shy over it, thinking, oh my gosh, I avert my eyes. It's like when I used to be in Major League Baseball and NFL locker rooms and clubhouses, eyes up was really my rule. Keep your eyes as high up as you possibly can. And that's, no, I'm serious.
No, that's a good rule. Yeah.
Just the only way that I could even, and I wouldn't say I was comfortable, but the only way that I could even remotely navigate clubhouses and locker rooms was to keep my eyes above eye level, as in looking up. And it's the same thing with these accounts. I dare not look at the actual page. I'm looking only at the spot where I can block them. It's so gross. It's really, it's unbelievable that that's happening. Maybe I should send a personal note to Elon. I mean, we're on a first name basis. And say to him, hey, can you get rid of more born bots, please?
Please. Just a nice couple pleases.
Just a please. What do you think? Do you think the chances that he responds to me?
There's definitely a chance. He's pretty active.
He is active.
I mean, I don't know if he'd do anything, but I think there's definitely a chance he'd respond. He'd probably give you some sort of like sarcastic, snarky remark. Mm. That's what I think he'd do, honestly.
All right. Do you think we should try it?
We can give it a shot.
First thing on Wednesday morning?
I like
we'll
it.
We'll craft a text. Not a text, oops. A tweet to Elon Musk and ask him very politely to eliminate more porn bots.
It's for the greater good.
It is for the greater
good.
We're
just trying to do service out here.
I mean, it benefits all of us. It's for the
everyone.
Children, really.
It really is.
It is for the I mean, seriously,
really,
I can't imagine children seeing some of the things I saw earlier on Tuesday. Oh, it freaked me out. All right, well, that's a new goal. Now, what's cooler? Because I've been retweeted or received replies from some pretty amazing accounts. For instance, Cirque du Soleil.
That's good.
I almost,
that was big time.
It was huge. I was over the moon excited. I've received replies from accounts like the Intrepid, which is an aircraft carrier from Korean War, World War II, even the Vietnam War, that is docked on the Hudson River. I'm a member. I love the Intrepid. I love aircraft carriers. When they sent me a reply, I was thrilled. I even got one from Charmin once. Don't ask me don't ask me how that happened. But of course, my favorite of all time is Star Wars. Not just one reply, but two. the actual Star Wars account.
A double dip?
Gave me two replies, and it was back when the original trailer was released for Episode 7. Okay, so going back to, what was the name of it? The Force Awakens.
Force Awakens.
We had been years without a new Star Wars movie, and the trailer was released, and I was geeking out and blah, blah, whatever, and Star Wars sent me a reply when I geeked out over the trailer. So that, by far, was the coolest.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Right. What if I got a reply from Elon Musk? Where would that rank?
The guy who owns Twitter? That's pretty good. I mean,
I guess
Star Wars is cool.
I guess it all depends. I guess it all depends upon your perspective of Twitter. But he is a fate. No matter how you slice it, Twitter, Tesla, is it SpaceX?
SpaceX.
Is SpaceX that he owns? Whatever it is, it would still be fairly amazing to receive a reply from Elon.
I think it'd be cool
for our show. It's for the good of our show.
I just really think it'd be something snarky and like dismissive. He's like not like a nice guy.
But
like
at the
on
very
Twitter.
Least, we could bring his attention to what's happening.
I don't know if he knows and like does it, but it seems like honestly, like when he bought Twitter, his thing was that he's gonna cut out all the bots and get rid of, you know. And honestly, like you're saying, it feels like there's more than there's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a purpose thing? Is he doing this? Is he just like trolling himself or trolling the whole Twitter?
I don't know either. Huh. I once got a like from the San Jose Sharks. That was kind of fun.
That's a good one.
I know. Considering that I love the San Jose Sharks, or I did. I mean, it's kind of not much to love right now. But I did love the San Jose Sharks.
I got no, Travel I did, Channel I did. Once.
Travel Channel.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. All right. So, you know, every now and then we feel as though we're validated by likes or replies. Elon Musk, though, that would be next level.
I mean, we'll give it a shot. I think we should. It's a worthy cause.
Wait, there was another account recently, another team account that sent a reply to me. The Hartford Whalers follow me, which is funny because there's not an actual team there, but I love the Hartford Whale. There was another team recently. Oh, you know what it was? It was the Chicago White Sox after I tweeted about Liam Hendricks returning,
nice.
Making his first appearance post being cleared from his, it was non-Hodgkin lymphoma,
yeah.
Right? They sent me a reply with green hearts because that's what they were using for him. So there have been some pretty cool replies and some pretty cool responses or likes. Elon Musk might top Cirque du Soleil, maybe. I don't think it tops Star Wars.
No. Cirque du Soleil's up there too, though.
Ooh,
I
know.
Elon, Cirque.
Yeah. Cirque. You can't shorten it to Cirque. What?
The only thing is, though, we got to be prepared. So if Elon does answer and we have his attention, there's a couple, you know, there's other things that we have to then fire at him. So we got to write that down.
You think?
I think so. We got his attention. We, you know, we have Elon Musk's attention. We got to make the best of it.
So once we get a reply or a like, we need to go right back and go for two for two if we can?
As many things we could think of, as many problems with Twitter, that's what we got
to
address them.
You want us to be pests? It's like pester Elon Musk.
Well, yeah, if he sees it, then we know he's looking at it, so we know he's going to see the reply. Got his attention. Use it.
All right. Use it. All right. It's our new weapon. It's our weapon, Elon Musk. Only if we get a reply, though.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if we got quote tweeted by Elon Musk? Oh, man.
Big time.
I mean, big time, but there might be more problems that come along with that.
You get more sex bots. Honestly, probably.
I love that you call them sex bots. Porn bots, sex bots, whatever. It's the Hump Show. Please don't ask me about porn or sex on Ask Amy Anything because you are not getting a reply. So if you would like to find our Ask Amy Anything bright orange box with the yellow thought bubble, it's on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. I feel like the whole show is downhill from here.
I'm working up a tweet to Elon as we speak. So,
well, oh, you're going to do it. You're going to do it.
But we'll do it.
We will. I like how Jay says we will. Should I include your Twitter in it?
You can. We'd probably get more attention with yours because I don't tweet much.
Well, I want it to be personal, as though we're addressing him personally, not just including him on the tweet.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be very formal.
Oh, it's going to be formal.
Very formal.
Dear Sir.
Sir.
Hello, sir.
Mr.
Mr. Elon
Mr. Musk.
Maybe we can send him a video of the yodeling pickle.
That will
get his attention.
Why does Mr. Musk sound insulting?
Stop making me laugh. I'm trying to be serious here. I mean, not really. That's totally a lie. All right, coming up, Clayton Kershaw takes himself out of a game. Should Dodgers fans be concerned? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
There's a shot to left field. Profar going back. He looks up and it's gone. It's unbelievable what J.D. Martinez does in Colorado. He's hitting near 450 against the Rockies in his career. Now has 5 home runs and 16 runs batted in against them. He's knocked in 3 of the 5 Dodger runs tonight. It is 5-0. And for J.D. Martinez, congratulations. His 300th career home run. He's come to the right place to do it.
You know, obviously it's a big achievement, you know, just for my career and, you know, from where I started to where I'm at now, you know, I give all the blessing to God. And, you know, it's been a roller coaster ride of a career, but I'm very fortunate. I've been blessed.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
J.D. Martinez, career home run number 300, providing the run support for one Clayton Kershaw as the Dodgers were at Coors Field in Denver. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. No doubt the familiar voice of Charlie Steiner is music to the ears of Dodgers fans, but what he had to say about Clayton Kershaw in the sixth inning, well, maybe gave fans pause a bit.
2 out in the bottom of the sixth. Kershaw on 2-2. Line drive. Pass. Muncie into left field for a base hit. First hit of the game for the Rockies. A 2-out single to left. Clean hit. Muncie was close to it, but it just too quick.
It's a curveball.
Muncie, after it scooted past him, kind of flicked his wrist in anger.
That's, again, Charlie Steiner on Dodgers radio. Now, here's the fun thing. Right after Kershaw gave up that hit that ended his no-hit bid, it was minutes later that he picked the runner off first base. So, actually, it was an early break for second, and he was able to pick him off easily. Brenton Doyle ended up being the out. Even though he got the hit, he was still the out that ended the inning and ended Clayton Kershaw's night. He'd only thrown 79 pitches. So why was he out of the game after that sixth?
Just didn't feel great overall. You know, that last inning kind of got to me. Obviously not a lot of pitches. Definitely should have gone deeper in the game. So feel bad about making the bullpen cover 3, but just needed to come out right there, and I think I'm all right. I think I'll be good for the next start, but it was just something that was trying to do the right thing, and I think I did.
Right now, I'm not concerned. I think that, you know, for me, we've been riding him a lot. You look at his last few starts, I think we've pushed him a lot, and so tonight, you know, whatever it was, I just think that there was some fatigue that set in, and so I appreciate, you know, him feeling that, you know, that was good. And we had a good conversation and felt that that was the right thing to do. So to kind of pass the baton and move forward.
This is a place that I don't want to give any credit to not pitching well, but I haven't pitched well here in a while. So it was good to have a good outing here. And obviously we scored some runs today. I wanted to keep that lead in check, but yeah, overall it felt good. You know, obviously not a lot of strikeouts or anything, but good plays defensively. Muntz and Miggy made great plays over there, and you know, was efficient with pitches. So yeah, it was a good day.
So he's under 80 pitches, but he gets his 10th win. Takes himself out of the game after just the one hit in the sixth inning. Only has a couple of strikeouts, and Dave Roberts, I think, makes a good point. They've been asking so much of Clayton Kershaw because he's the only pitcher who's still standing from the opening day rotation. Now they're about to get reinforcements back, but he's the only guy who's still out there pitching, which I think is, I don't want to say ironic. It's just that he's dealt with a ton of injuries the last couple of years. So it's interesting, at least. It's a new twist on Dodgers pitching injuries. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. 10 wins already for Clayton Kershaw. And right now, he is the stopper again, the ace, de facto ace for the Dodgers. That NL West, it's going to get tighter before we have any type of a definitive front runner, leader. It could end up being a real tight race all the way through. The Arizona Diamondbacks have a 2.5 game lead on the Giants, who now just have a half game lead on the Dodgers. If you missed my conversation with Michael Duarte from Sunday night, this was post Dodgers and Astros at Chavez Ravine. We were talking about when he will have, or when the Dodgers will have reinforcements and whether or not they've turned a corner. Maybe this is the stretch in which they put pressure on the leaders of the NL West. So we'll see. Still a long way to go, though. We're not even to the All-Star break, though. It's coming up. As for the other team that calls LA home, man, every time Shohei Ohtani steps on the mound or gets into the batter's box, it feels like I got to drop everything. And for those of you who remember the home run chase of, was it 98, when it was Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, it got to a point late in the summer and then on into the fall when their at-bats were televised, right? Whether it was ESPN, I don't think MLB Network existed then, so it wasn't that. But you would get their even if it was in the middle of another game sometimes, a national broadcast, they would cut away and they would go to the at-bats for McGwire and Sosa. It feels like that type of appointment TV for Shohei Ohtani. I know he's not at this point chasing any home run record, but because of his unique skill set, and because it seems like every time he gets on the mound or gets into the batter's box, there's a chance for him to do something that we haven't seen before or to add to his repertoire, I don't want to miss it. And apparently he has a split fingernail and was pitching lights out anyway. So we'll get to Shohei Ohtani with another two home runs. And speaking of homers, well, the team that leads the majors in dingers. I haven't said that word in a while. Dingers. Dingers. It's just an odd word. If you keep saying it a few times, it feels even odder. Maybe I should shave on the old big glasses out loud. Dinger. I saw you mouth it.
Oh, absolutely.
Dinger. Dinger.
Dinger.
Where did that come from? Dinger. I don't know. Marco, would you like to chime in here? Marco Belletti's in the studio.
No, I'm going to pass, but thank you.
You're going to pass? You don't want to say it? Just say it a few times.
Dinger?
Dinger. Here we are talking about porn bots on Twitter, and it kind of feels like that should go along. Dinger.
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 I think that's the Rockies mascot's name, speaking of the Angels. Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
that makes sense, considering the number of dingers that are hit out of Coors Field. Dingers. There's a reason why I haven't said that in a while, I think. Anyway, Shohei Ohtani has a lot of dingers, but he also has a lot of strikeouts. And so we'll get to that coming up. Jay and I... Welcome back, Marco. We missed you.
Hi.
Jay and I are crafting a special tweet, a very special tweet, to Elon Musk. We are going to send it on Wednesday in the hopes that we get a reply. And we're essentially asking him to look into the proliferation of porn bots. Have you noticed that they have increased in the last few weeks? How much? I know you have a Twitter account, but how much time do you spend on it?
If I'm at work, a decent amount. If I'm not at work, virtually never.
Okay.
Did I notice that? No.
Oh,
I mean,
my gosh.
I look, they're always around. I don't think I really pay that much attention, I guess.
Okay.
There are times where, I mean.
Do you ever check your notifications?
Yeah, no, I do. I don't tweet much, so
that could be why.
And well, yeah, I do notice. Yeah, you'll get the likes from whatever 6735 2, you know, 24. Yeah, okay. Like these are not real people. Okay, I get
right.
That.
And here's what happens though. As I was explaining earlier, I open up the profile page to block them, only to block them. I'm on a one woman mission to block every single porn bot on the entire damn site. And I'm not joking when I tell you I block thousands. I do multiple times per day I'm blocking porn bots. And I am stunned. All you have to do is go to the profile page and the videos start playing and it's actually porn.
Oh, yeah.
It's like actual porn.
Yeah, I think that's always been the Wild West on all that kind of stuff.
So we're going to craft a polite, respectful tweet to one Elon Musk asking him to look into the growth of porn bots on his site.
Oh, good luck with that response.
Okay. No, we're hoping. Jay thinks we'll get some kind of a snarky response about the porn bots.
I don't know. Like I said, I've never blocked one person. I right over my head. I don't care. All that stuff. Anything that's got nothing to do with me, I don't care.
Okay.
We're moving along.
They're disgusting. I don't.
Right. I'm not arguing with you. I just, blinders. Like I don't care. I have a tendency to just, you know, straight ahead, moving on. It's not the proper way to probably go about your business, but that's just how I am. It's just straight ahead.
I do spend a lot more time on the site than you do.
Yeah. A lot more.
So because of that, I don't want to see it. So yes, would you like us to add any type of complaint to our tweet to Elon for you? Not enough animal videos.
No. I mean, if you were going to go back, can we go back to knowing who the hell everybody was?
Yeah. Verifications.
We could
Should
do
we
that.
Add the verifications?
Where you didn't pay for it and then it just becomes pointless?
Yes.
Yeah, like it would have helped out with breaking news. You actually know if the person's legitimately the one that's breaking the news as opposed to having to check it 7, 8, 9 times before you got to verify.
Right.
Yes.
That's true. Okay.
So, yeah.
Maybe we'll also
that would have been
add
cool.
verifications to
basically
the
just
list.
If you could go back to before you took over, that would be great.
All right. We're probably not going to get a response if we say that. Or maybe we will. Maybe we're more likely to get a response if we say that.
Poke the bear.
Poke the bear a little bit. Huh. All right. Let's see what we can do about this. We're going to maybe just send him a list. You know how people, when they want to write more than the 280 characters, they screenshot a note from their phone? Yeah, maybe we'll have to do that. Please see the following list.
Add more than 240 characters now onto the list.
No, I do not need to see what people have to say in more than 240 or 80 characters or whatever it is. I'm good.
I don't know. I could do it more succinct. Go away. How about that?
Yes.
For him.
For oh,
again,
for,
if, the,
oh,
if you would go
oh, don't,
away
yeah,
from
don't
Twitter.
Attach us to that, though, because then we won't get a response.
Well, if you're asking me, I would like to go back to Twitter before he took over.
Gotcha.
Was it great? No, but at least I knew what was going on. It made sense. Now I don't know what the hell's going on. It makes it harder.
It does. And there's more porn bots. So, okay, I'm with you. All right. On that note, well, find our show Twitter if you must and send us your Ask Amy Anything questions. And also, if you would like us to add to the suggestion box for Elon Musk. You can do that too.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's a ball that's absolutely blasted out into right center field, and it is showtime. Ohtani launches a missile. Just talking about what happened the last time the Angels faced Kopech in the first inning, and Ohtani has just blasted number 27 of the season.
And Ohtani left his pitching assignment because of a cracked fingernail. Here's a pitch that he hits well out into left center field. It's tearing deep out there, and this one is out of here. Cracked fingernail or not, Ohtani, the hitter, has hit his second home run tonight. That is number 28 of the season, and the Angels have a 3-1 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Angels Radio, Terry Smith is the voice of the Los Angeles Angels. And Shohei Ohtani, even with a cracked middle finger, as it turns out, we found that out in a couple of different ways. He has a pair of dingers. Even after he leaves the game following his start, he ends up with number 28. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Always fun when we can talk about Ohtani. As I say, I believe he's turning into must-see TV, can't-miss appointments, whatever it is. And if the Dodgers, sorry, not the Dodgers, if the Angels remain relevant and remain part of the AL West race, right now they're five games back, well, then we're going to see more and more of Ohtani as we move through the dog days and then on into the stretch run. Right now they're a wild card team. They have not made the playoffs since 2014. But at this point, they have leapfrogged the Toronto Blue Jays. It's only a half game, long way to go. The entire AL East is part of the playoff races right now. But the Angels, as it stands today, are the third AL wild card. That would be tremendous to see them back on the playoff stage, to see Ohtani and Mike Trout on the playoff stage. The more they can remain relevant, the longer they can remain part of these races, the more we're going to see him and Trout on national TV. Why? Because they are two of the game's brightest stars. It's just that usually by this time, the Angels are either falling off a cliff or have been DOA for a while. They're hanging in. I think this would be great for baseball and potentially for the Angels, too. If they want to keep Ohtani, they must make the playoffs. Now, he doesn't just do it at the plate, as we talked about. He's also one of those guys that on the mound, you would think he'd be tired. You would think that in terms of preparation, it might not be possible to do both and do both well, except he keeps defying logic.
Anderson is going to take that cutter on an 0-2 delivery, and he is out looking. Struck him out for the third time tonight, and Shohei has strikeout number 8. Here's the 1-2, and there it is. You called it right on the money. A splitter struck him out swinging, and that is how the inning will end. 9th strikeout tonight for Ohtani.
He finishes with 10, and Ohtani is only the 6th pitcher and first from the American League in nearly 60 years to have a pair of home runs and 10 Ks in a same game. This is what I'm talking about. Every single night when he gets on the mound or he steps into the batter's box, he can dazzle. As I say, I feel like showtime is kind of tepid now to talk about the show that we get from
him. I can't believe it.
Ohtani already leads the majors with 28 home runs. It's the first time he's ever had two in a game in which he was also pitching. And then, as I say, goes into the 7th, strikes out 10 before he has to leave with a cracked fingernail. And his manager, Phil Nevin, thought he would demonstrate by showing the media that cracked fingernail, or showing him where the fingernail was cracked.
Yeah, his middle finger, and apparently I was. It's a crack in the middle finger. I'll hold them all up for you on his nail. So it's just something we'll monitor. He, being the team guy he is, he just knew that. You know, he saw Webb up down there, and he knew Webb would had a little better command of his pitches, and he just felt like he wasn't able to command the sweeper, especially, or, you know, a couple off-speed pitches to get, you know, the guys that were coming up out, and that's what we're talking about. You know, he understood where we're at in the game and who we have available.
Phil Nevin holds his middle finger up for all the media to see, demonstrating where Shohei has the cracked fingernail, and then realized he had just flipped the bird to all of the media gathered there. All right. I feel like this could turn into an Aaron, maybe it's already there, an Aaron Boone on Aaron Judge situation where you just run out of superlatives. That's where Boone was last year with Aaron Judge. Not so much this year. Phil Nevin, too. I mean, he's in awe like the rest of us.
I think we come in here a lot, and to talk about it, it's, you know, it's a wow factor. I think what's cool is watching, you know, new guys come in like Moose and Eske here today. Like, they see this and like, they're in amazement, right? And we all are. It's just for the first time to see it, and you know, the performance today was incredible.
Let's hear Shohei just for fun. I love to hear Shohei talk. I've heard him speak English in a recording before, so I know he knows English, but I actually am getting to the point where I like to hear him speak Japanese.
Pitching was good, so this year I think good defense
Yeah, I thought I pitched pretty well today, and on the days I pitch, I've been hitting pretty well this year, so try to keep that up.
All right, short and sweet. How many people out there do you think believe that the voice of the interpreter is actually Shohei's voice? Because it's always the same guy. I mean, he's his personal interpreter. And I bet there are people out there who think that's actually Shohei who's talking. It's not. Shohei was the first one. The interpreter was the second. Jay, what do you think he sounds like? What would you say about his personality when you hear him talk?
I think he sounds friendly.
Very friendly.
Very friendly,
very
actually.
Friendly.
His like tone is so, like, cheery, and I think, at least,
yeah.
I don't know.
No, I agree. And I hope that we'll get him to speak some English, too, just because, yeah, people want to hear that as well. Not that he isn't an incredible superstar anyway. I'm not saying that he has to speak English to be a superstar. No, he's awesome. But I think there are a lot of fans here in the United States that would love to hear him speak English, just that they would be tickled even more.
I think it'd be fun to see him in, like, commercials and stuff more.
Yeah, true. Do you care to try to take a stab at the number of, the recent pitchers, there's two of them, that have, in the same game, two home runs and at least 10 strikeouts.
Wow, there's two in history?
No. It's been done four other times since the mound was put at its current distance. So that goes back to the 1800s. But two of them are modern.
Mike Hampton?
That's a good guess, actually, but no.
Man. I don't know. That was my one good guess. Right. Tell me.
Madison Bumgarner is one of them, going back to 2017. And Zach Greinke.
Oh, wow.
In 2019.
I never
Interesting, yeah.
That.
But there was only one in the American League ever to do it, and that is Pedro Ramos of Cleveland back in 1963. So it's been a long time since we've seen an American League pitcher do this for obvious reasons. All right, we're going to talk golf next. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
Don't you wish your khaki shorts were legitimately comfortable instead of stiff cotton? Try Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs stretch khaki shorts look like khaki shorts but feel like gym shorts. They have it all. Anti-stink, sweat-wicking fabric, a super comfortable built-in liner, and zipper pockets to keep everything secure. It's time to swap your old-school khakis for Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/MLB and enter promo code baseball for a free baseball hat with your order. That's birddogs.com/MLB, promo code baseball for a free hat. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, we promise you.
What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
Mountain Dew Zero Sugar asks, ever wonder what it would be like to live in an alternate universe?
Well, friends, welcome to the alternate universe of Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. Because even though it says zero sugar right there on the bottle, when you crack one open and try it, the taste is nothing less than outrageously delicious. Hey, transport yourself to an alternate universe with Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. Zero sugar, all dew.
Stop by Quality Mart for a refreshingly good deal on Mountain Dew. Get two 20-ounce Mountain Dews for only $3.50. Do the Dew at Quality Mart.